From the Orion Policy Institute, this is Orion Talks. Our podcast brings together experts for a conversation about events shaping the world at the local, national, and global levels. Tune in as we discuss foreign policy, security, human rights, political and economic development, and various other issues.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Orion Talks. I'm your host, Marta Furlan. Today, I'm joined by Kawa Hassan. Kawa is a non-resident fellow with Stimson's Middle East and North Africa program and a consultant on MENA affairs. From March 2021 to February 2023, he was also executive director of Stimson Europe, director of MENA program, and senior fellow. Prior to joining Stimson, Kawa was vice president of the MENA program and director of the Brussels Center at the East-West Institute. Kawa is a member of NATO Mission Iraq Strategic Assessment Capability, where he provides strategic insights to the NATO Chief of Staff, Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe, SHAPE, senior commanders and staff about Iraq and the wider region. Furthermore, Kawa was a visiting non-resident scholar at Carnegie Middle East Center, a knowledge officer at HIVOS, and he held management positions at UNDP. Kawa is the author and editor of numerous publications, is an international speaker who regularly provides interviews to global media outlets. He holds a Master of Science in International Relations, Political Science from the University of Amsterdam. Kawa, thank you for joining us and welcome to Orion Talks.
Good morning, Marta. Happy to to have this podcast with you, this interview, and thank you. Thanks for the kind introduction.
Thank you. So today with Kawa, we're going to talk about the Israel-Lebanon war and the implications of that war for the region, looking specifically at Iran and its axis of resistance. For the past year and following the attack of October 7, 2023, Israel and Hamas have been engaged in war. Then in mid-September, Israel announced that halting Hezbollah attacks and returning Israel's displaced families to their homes in the north of the country had also become an official goal of its war. Since then, we've seen that Israel has conducted sophisticated attacks on Hezbollah's communications infrastructure, has attacked numerous Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon, and has eliminated many of Hezbollah's senior leaders, including Hassan Nasrallah himself. Assassinations of this kind were then followed by rocket attacks against Israel on part of Hezbollah, as well as on part of Iran. Now, Kawa, help us please to understand the better the significance and the implications of these very important developments. And we could start perhaps by reflecting on what does the death of Nasrallah and other top Hezbollah leaders mean for Hezbollah as an organization?
Right. So the I think the assassination of Nasrallah, but also some top military brass of Hezbollah, the the former head of Radwan, and also some other military leaders, is really it's a significant development. Definitely, it has weakened Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is, and with it Iran, its main supporter, are vulnerable, are exposed, but they are not defeated. Why they are not defeated? First and foremost, because Hezbollah is an ideological, doctrinal organization. And yes, Nasrallah has been instrumental to elevating, the party to be the main Iran allies in the region over the past 32 years. And that wouldn't have been possible without the charismatic and capable and competent leadership of Hassan Nasrallah. So his death is definitely a big blow to the organization, but it's not the end of Hezbollah. As I said, because Hezbollah is an ideological organization, and it's the reason for its emergence was the Israeli invasion of Lebanon in 1982. And also it's the major asset in the hands of in Iran to counter Israel, and also to advance its regional influence. And so as we have seen over the past few days, Hezbollah has actually increased its attacks on Israel, even for the first time killing soldiers and, you know, wounding more. So I think due to its attack on Binyamin Air Base, four Israeli soldiers were killed and probably over 60 wounded. And this is a qualitative attack if you compare it with previous attacks by Hezbollah, which clearly Hezbollah wants to send a signal, but not only Hezbollah, but also Iran, to send a signal to Israel and to US that, yes, Hezbollah is extremely weakened, it's vulnerable, but it's not defeated, and they are capable to hit Israel hard. And we should not forget that also Hezbollah and Iran haven't yet used the most advanced weapons they have in their possession. So should they decide to go for that, I think, according to all military experts — I'm not a military expert, but according to military experts with good knowledge of the situation, they still be able to, you know, to do considerable damage to Israel. So all in all, the assassination of Nasrallah, the assassination of top military leaders, the pager and walkie-talkie explosions in Beirut were huge, huge blows and humiliation to Hezbollah. But Hezbollah is far from being defeated.
Thank you, Kawa. And what about Iran? I mean, how these events are impacting Iran's regional strategy and specifically Iran's axis of resistance?
Well, definitely Iran's policy of maintaining its regional influence, it's definitely facing what I call a moment of reckoning, because for the first time, Iran is literally in direct war with Israel. So Iran has been doing its utmost for the past 20, 30 decades, sorry, for the past two, three decades, to not to get involved in a direct confrontation with Israel, but rather using its strategy of asymmetric warfare to, you know, inflict damage on Israel and to surround Israel with what is called the Ring of Fire, using its proxies slash allies to surround Israel. And it has been, to a certain extent, successful in that, with Hezbollah becoming more and more strong and powerful, possessing over 100,000 advanced, advanced and precise weapons. Houthis in Yemen have been attacking Israel. Iraqi militias, proxies of Iran, has been attacking Israel, but to less effect. They are less effective than Hezbollah and then Houthis. But nonetheless, the Iran's asymmetric warfare has been, you know, to some extent successful in confronting Israel indirectly. But that phase is now partly over, not fully, but partly over. Why? Because as we all know, due to the Israeli attacks and killing of senior Iranian military commanders at the Iranian consulate in Damascus, and then the Iranian retaliation, and then later on the killing of Haniyeh in Tehran, which was a big blow for Iranian regime, for such a high level political leader from Hamas to be assassinated in Tehran and in a guest house supposedly protected by IRGC. That was a big, big blow for Iran, and Iran had no choice, had no option but to retaliate, which they did. And now we are all waiting for the next strike by Israel, right? So Iran is facing, Iran's strategy of confronting Israel through asymmetric warfare still continuing, through Hezbollah, through Houthis, and to a lesser extent through Iraqi militias. But also Iran itself is right now engaged in a direct warfare with Israel. And this is not a war that, you know, Iran has been preparing for. I don't think they were preparing for this. They were hoping that they can continue with the asymmetric warfare, be able to put pressure on Israel and also maintain their regional influence, right? But that strategy is now facing, a very tough tough challenge. It remains to be seen in the coming months, but also years, to what extent Iran's regional influence will be pushed back. So both in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, and in Lebanon. We have to wait and see, because that is not yet clear to me, because we are right now in the middle of a very, in the middle of war. And Iran has, even after the assassination of Nasrallah, according to credible reports, they have now even taken more direct role in guiding and leading Hezbollah to attack Israel. So definitely the strategy of Iran to surround Israel is now facing a tough challenge. To what extent Iran's influence will be literally pushed back depends on the trajectory of the war in the coming weeks, months, or maybe years, we don't know. And then after the war, which kind of agreements will be agreed upon between US, Israel, Iran, but maybe also some regional, players, in the region, like Saudi Arabia and some other super, major powers like China and Russia, which kind of agreement will come about where Iran, and to what extent that agreement will kind of push back Iran's regional influence, that we have to wait and see. It depends on the outcome of the war, obviously.
Thank you, Kawa. And how do you think that all these recent developments that we are witnessing in the Middle East are going to impact the still ongoing war between Hamas and Israel and the crisis in Gaza?
Well, I think first we should probably, it's better to say, it's impacting the war in Gaza, first and foremost, because it's diverting attention from, I think that's in contrary to what Hezbollah is claiming and Iran. The war with Hezbollah and between Hezbollah and Iran is diverting attention from the war in Gaza. So there is less attention for the humanitarian, the unimaginable humanitarian suffering in Gaza, which is beyond imagination, particularly in northern part of Gaza. So it diverts attention both from first and foremost from the horrible humanitarian situation in Gaza. But the Israel's war in Gaza itself hasn't stopped. It continues, and it even aims to evict people from northern Gaza, around 400,000, to so-called humanitarian zones in other parts of Gaza. So the war, contrary to the claims of Iran and Hezbollah that actually they are helping Gaza, the current war between Hezbollah on the one hand and Israel is diverting attention from the humanitarian disaster in Gaza, and it doesn't have any strategic impact on the calculation of Israelis when it comes to their war in Gaza.
Okay, thank you so much. And since we talked about Hezbollah, Iran, now Hamas, let's put all of these together and let us help to understand how this most recent escalation in tensions between Israel and Hezbollah and Iran may be affecting the possibility of a region-wide war in the next weeks and months.
Well, in a way, we have a regional war. So in a way, we are regional war, it means that other countries may get involved in the war. So if by that we mean regional Arab countries, I don't think they will get involved in should it come to that stage. Neither Jordan nor Saudi Arabia nor other countries want to be dragged into this war. So there only one power remains to be dragged into that war, and that is the US, right? So in a way, yes, there isn't the so-called regional wider the regional war in Middle East, but we are in a war situation in literally in the region, because the direct war between Israel and Iran, to me, that is a sort of it's a sort of regional war, because there is this so-called ballistic missile ping pong between these two powers, with disastrous consequences for the entire region, and with grave chances for miscalculations. At some point, something will go wrong. So countries which are caught in between, maybe will be hit by these. By these missiles, and also the ultimate goal of Israel, of Netanyahu's government, is to drag US into a war with Iran. US don't want that war. Iran doesn't want US to get involved. But that is the ultimate strategic objective of Netanyahu's government. So far, US has been, cautious not to be dragged into that war, but we have to wait and see for the next Israeli strike against Iran, how impactful will be, which targets will be hit, and then Iran obviously has to respond. So we are in this circle of tit for tat, but a very dangerous tit-for-tat war between Iran and Israel, with no end in sight in terms of de-escalation. US is still important in trying to probably constrain an Israeli response. So that is a good sign. But again, this tit-for-tat war is very dangerous, because there is always risks of grave miscalculation by either party, and which creates also new dynamics, which will make it even more difficult for warring parties, Iran and Israel, to step back. So the escalation continues without any serious diplomatic effort to de-escalate the situation. So going back to your question, what are the chances of a regional war? We are already in a situation of a regional war, but we have to wait for the next stage of that escalation. Israel striking Iran, Iran strikes back, and then nobody knows where we will be in a few weeks' time.
Thank you so much, Kawa. This was extremely interesting. And once again, thank you for joining us today on Orion Talks and for guiding us through the recent developments in the Middle East and their significance and their implications. And finally, I would also like to thank our listeners for following this latest episode of Orion Talks.
Thank you so much, Marta. I hope it was, it was what you expected.
Yes, it was very, very interesting. Thank you again, Kawa.